At California Psychics, we know that sometimes you can wake up thinking,
ugh, I don't know if I'm in the right career. Ew. Or the right relationship.
But whatever your life dilemma, at California Psychics, we'll give you the guidance you need to feel certain about your life choices. And because we only connect you with the very best, we guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. California Psychics. Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com today for limited time offers.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, the tension is killing me here. Here we go into hour number two of the program. Tony is on the precipice of winning today's fantabulous sports game show, Gwynn and Chris on 97.3 The Fan, and Tony does have to get going to the ballpark. So we're going to give him one more guess to guess an NFL Hall of Fame quarterback who played in a Super Bowl. Now, these guys have together got 17 of the 18 correct answers. Scraby finally got the first strike by guessing Ben Roethlisberger, who is not yet in the Hall of Fame. So that leaves the door open.
He's going to be, right?
He sure will be, I'm sure, yeah. That leaves the door open for Tony, and if Tony gets it, not only is it a walk-off moment, but it's a mic drop because he just says it and he walks out the door, and that's it. So he had a time to think about it, his guess, to win the game, and Tony, we're ready for you.
Scraby, I can't even be mad at you for guessing Ben Roethlisberger, because I, in my mind, was so close to guessing Aaron Rodgers, and then I remembered that he's still playing.
I'm surprised neither of you went with Tom Brady.
Oh, I know that.
I didn't know
that.
Didn't know that at all. I thought he was on this list for sure when I put it together. I'm like, where's Tom Brady?
He's only been retired for like 3 years.
I know,
years.
But I didn't think about it like that. You know,
I definitely got to Tom Brady right after Rodgers and stopped, realized the same thing. But I think it's the one guy that represented the Raiders.
Oh, no.
Yes, you did.
Because I thought about it in the break.
You did.
Oh.
It is the Snake, Kenny Stabler, for the win. Tony Gwynn Jr. gets it. Tony, have a great broadcast. We'll see you next time. I don't know if it's tomorrow or not.
I'll see you Thursday.
Yeah, I think he's traveling, so... Tony, well done. It is correct. Kenny Stabler was the final one. And you had thought of it too, you said. So
yeah.
You would have maybe gone to it if he had missed?
I wasn't sure. It was either that or I just wanted to say Doug Williams because that was the other name
Doug
I
Williams,
knew.
Yeah. I think his accomplishment is certainly in the Hall of Fame. He was the first, you know, black quarterback to start and win a Super Bowl. But he himself was not a Hall of Fame player.
All right, Tony.
The Snake.
Have a great day.
The Snake is right. Super Bowl 11.
I think he actually did walk off. He's not there.
No, he did. He's gone. He said it right. He texted us. It says mic drop.
Oh.
He's gone. He's
I didn't see that.
He's out the building.
Oh,
he's, Tony Gwynn Jr. has left the building.
Well, at least I can shut off this music then.
Yes, you don't need to hear his celebration music anymore because he's not there to celebrate. Well, First of all, I enjoyed the game. You guys did really, really well. 17 of 18. That was a list I just really liked putting together. It was fun to go back through it.
It's not bad.
And I will tell you, I think it's rather remarkable that there's only 18 guys
that are in the Hall
That's
of Fame
it.
And played in the Super Bowl.
That's it. That's a pretty small group.
You know, I can name a bunch of quarterbacks that aren't in the Hall of Fame, like Kerry Collins.
Played in a Super Bowl.
Yeah, Brad Johnson.
All right, and here's the other part of this, and I'll just, since Tony had to go, I'm going to see if you can get any of these. There are four more Hall of Fame quarterbacks who played in the Super Bowl era but didn't play in a Super Bowl. Okay, so you named the 18 guys that
Hall of Famers that didn't play in a Super Bowl?
There are four guys that are in the Hall of Fame quarterbacks that just were playing but didn't make it into a Super Bowl. Now, before you even think about it, understand that this leaves out the likes of Sid Luckman, Sammy Baugh. These are Hall of Famers, but they played way before the Super Bowl. So these are guys that actually played during the Super Bowl era. I think you could conceivably get two.
I think I got one.
I think there's two that you couldn't get no matter how hard you tried.
Okay, I think I got one, though.
Go.
Is it going to be... Oh, now I forgot what the heck is his name.
Hall of Fame.
Locally, Dan Fouts.
Dan Fouts, yeah. In fact, I think Dan Fouts is without question... Not even an argument. I don't think you could even have a good... You might be able to have an okay argument because there's one other guy. But I think Dan Fouts is the greatest quarterback that never played in the Super Bowl. I think it's just plain and simple. He's in the Hall of Fame, but he didn't get to play in the Super Bowl. Fouts is the best. But there's one other guy I think you could get. The other two guys are kind of
Give
off.
Me the era.
In your era. Like, you saw this guy play, and you know him, and you'll recognize him. He's way up there on the passing yardage list. I don't even think he won a playoff game or more than one. They lost, it seemed like, every time.
Why am I forgetting?
But he never got to the Super Bowl, but he's clearly a Hall of Fame. It wasn't even an argument.
I don't know.
Played for the Oilers
most famously.
Yes, Warren Moon is also a Hall of Famer who did not play in the Super Bowl. The other two guys that are Super Bowl era, some of the, like, 70s football fans out there might probably remember these two guys. One played for the then Redskins, Sonny Jurgensen, but he never got to play in a Super Bowl. And the other is a little more famous quarterback, but a lot of people just wouldn't think of him, and that's George Blanda, who is a...
I've definitely heard of him.
Yeah,
right?
Blanda was a quarterback/kicker.
See, and those were the days.
Those were the days. Blanda was the kicker, and in 1970, I know I'm going to turn back time.
I'm getting to it.
This is turning it back. But it was a famous stretch of games. And remember, in 1970, field goals were not a sure thing in any way. Not like they are now, where the guy comes out and just bombs it through.
I think they kicked behind the ball. They didn't do the whole thing where they stepped to the side.
No, Blanda was a straight-ahead kicker. And in those days...
I love kickers.
And I think I fell in love with them back in the 70s, but... In those days, a 40-yard field goal was a decent kick. A 50-yarder was almost unheard of. And in four consecutive games, the Raiders, during the middle of the 1970 season, came from behind in the fourth quarter with Blanda leading the comeback and then kicking the winning field goal on the final play of the game.
That's awesome.
He did it 4 weeks in a row.
That's awesome.
And he went on to win MVP year.
If you are the guy who's kicking the field goals and driving yourself into range.
He drove the team down there and then made the field goal. Like, they were like 38 yarders, you know, or 45 yarders, but it was just the fact that he was able to do something that crazy.
That is crazy.
That would be
so much fun if there was a quarterback like that in these days.
Timeout! Tua calls timeout, and now he's taken off the flak jacket, and Tonga Vailoa is going to line it up for 51.
He's changing his shoe.
But I don't think Blanda changed his shoe.
I would hope
he wouldn't
not.
Have had time to change his shoe.
I mean, let's be real. I don't think they were changing shoes back then.
I mean, he just wiped off his the sweat on his brow and lined up to kick the field goal.
That's not bad. That's
great. It's a great moment in NFL history.
You know who I really wanted to be great, but wasn't really? Cordell Stewart, because of he was slash. He
slash,
was a receiver, quarterback, and a punter.
I don't remember him punting.
He did punt a few times.
Did he? You know who was an excellent punter? NFL quarterback in our era. Not the one of the greatest punters of all time. Pure punting is Sammy Baugh.
Who was
famous for being a quarterback, but Sammy Baugh was, you know, back in that day was, you know, booming them. But the punter of recent vintage who was a quarterback is Randall Cunningham. And Randall Cunningham, I'm almost sure you can find this, had a 90-yard punt once out of his own end zone when he was with the Philadelphia Eagles. So
that's incredible.
Yeah, Cunningham was Cunningham was the punter when he quarterbacked at UNLV.
I got to say, so, Cordell Stewart punted once for the Steelers. Then he punted five times for the Ravens. Didn't even know he played for the Ravens.
I didn't either. Look up Cunningham just for fun if you have a second. I wonder how many times he punted. I know that he had a 90-yard on one occasion back then.
Yeah, Cordell Stewart's long was 42.
Okay, so I think Cunningham beat that for sure.
Let me see.
Randall Cunningham was a guy that I discovered Randall Cunningham when I was covering the Aztecs. We went there on a Thursday night. Me and Kirk Kenny stood on the sidelines there in Las Vegas and watched Randall Cunningham carve up the Aztecs one night. And he also punted, and then he went on to the NFL. What was his punting numbers?
He had 20 punts.
20, okay.
His long, 91 in 1989. Yeah, there it is. Then in 94, he had an 80-yard punt.
Yeah.
97, he had a 65-yard punt. So he was a much better punter than Cordell.
No, Cunningham was a legit punter.
Because you did college sidelines and stuff, but have you, I went on the field one time when the Chargers were in town and I was just standing there watching the punters. It sounds like a shotgun when they kick this ball. It is like a lot of force.
You would laugh at the nerdness of this, but when I used to go to Charger practices, Mike Cyphers would punt on another field.
Oh, because the game he was throw it so long?
Yeah, they're practicing over here. They don't have room for the punter. So he would go on another field. I would go over there and just stand there for a half an hour and watch him punt.
No, because
incredible.
He could probably put it wherever he wanted to.
He also could bomb it like 100 yards if he had to.
Cyphers
was, I think, the best punter in football, but he lost out for the Pro Bowl every year to the Raiders punter then of a guy named Shane Leckler. Shane Leckler used to beat him out every year because Leckler was like, for lack of a better comparison, Leckler was the Nolan Arenado to Cyphers Manny. Because Cyphers was an incredible punter for the Chargers, one of the best I ever saw, as was, before him, a good friend, Darren Bennett.
Yeah, I was just about to say, worked with him when I worked at Chargers Radio, and
great
then
guy.
Realized that he lived down the street from me. He drove by one day.
Darren Bennett's a great guy, number one. And number two, every time you see an end-over-end punt, he invented that. Nobody ever did that until Darren Bennett.
One thing about Darren Bennett, he's a huge dude.
Well, he played Aussie rules football.
I know. You don't think punters is like big guys? He could probably play linebacker if he wanted to. He was that big.
Nobody wanted to break a punt and then get tackled by Darren Bennett.
No, and if you were to try to block his kick, if he were to kick you, you would be dead.
Darren Bennett, he invented the knuckleball end-over-end punt that everyone uses now.
That's crazy.
He was the first to do it. It was the Aussie rules punt. He got it from the Aussie rules game. Darren Bennett, legendary punter. Mike Cyphers right alongside as we go back through a little Chargers history for you.
Brandon said, I'd rather Cyphers not make the Pro Bowl. That means Leckler punted a lot for the Raiders.
True. Leckler did punt a little bit more. All right, we'll take a quick timeout. Daily Gambit's next as Gwen and Chris continues. 11:18 is the time. Crisello, Tony Gwynn Jr., the winner of today's Fantabulous Sports Game Show. Thrilling fashion, the mic drop victory over Matt Scraby. We welcome you back, and Tony is getting ready for his broadcast today. Hopefully he'll have a game to broadcast. Apparently the weather is in question a little bit there in Philadelphia. But as it stands now, 3:30 for Nick Pivetta and Christopher Sanchez, the lefty, for the Phillies. And Scraby and I are going to do a little Daily Gambit stuff, a segment that I did particularly well in last night.
I've not been doing well lately.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. Looking at this Philadelphia weather, Chris, it does not look good. I'm just going to say there's lots of clouds everywhere, lots of rain. We'll keep you up to date on what's going on with the game. But we made some bets yesterday. First one was the Padres and the Phillies, and the Phillies were -1.5 on the run line. Both of us chose the Phillies, and
yes, we and just to go back, you know,
we didn't feel good about it.
We didn't feel good about it, but it just seemed like one of those nights. I mean,
and it was,
and it just was. You know, Dan Zach Wheeler, I keep calling him Dan.
Who's Dan Wheeler again?
He pitched like in the '70s, I think, for somebody. I don't know.
You know who you could blame for Zach Wheeler being with the Phillies at this moment in time? You could blame the San Francisco Giants for this.
Did they trade him over there?
They traded him to the Mets for Carlos Beltran back in like 2011 or 13 or something.
Okay.
And then he got flipped to the Phillies. So blame the Giants for all of
this. Well, I'd actually rather him be a Philly.
Than be...
Because if he was a Giant, we'd have to face him 6 times a year.
Great point.
This guy's really, really good. And he owns the Padres, which we will discuss more in our notes on a scorecard.
Okay. Over-under 9 runs. We both went under. We were both correct because there was only 4 runs. Who had more strikeouts? Dan Wheeler? Wheeler or Waldron? And you went Wheeler, I went Waldron. Waldron had 3. Zach Wheeler had 10, minus those 3 for the spread. So he had 7, but he still won easily. Now, Garrett Crochet, Red Sox pitcher, and Chase Burns from the Reds. We both chose Crochet as more strikeouts, but Crochet went, he had 9 strikeouts, minus the 2 for the spread, so he had 7. Chase Burns went a third of an inning and didn't get any strikeouts. He has an ERA of 1.35.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Rookie pitcher, and first of all, he had an error early in the inning there, so I think
that doesn't help.
That unglued him a little bit. And then before you know it, like, balls are flying off the Green Monster, and yeah.
As a manager, are you just like,
I mean,
Terry Francona, just let him die out there because no, I can't he didn't go let him, to my bullpen?
He didn't let him die. I mean, it took a couple minutes for somebody to warm up. You know, he had to
no,
leave
but that's
him
what
in.
I'm saying. Like, you're going to, you've just scratched the entire game now,
he
and
had
you're
no
going
choice.
Bullpen game.
He had no choice but to get him out. He's a brand new, he's going to be a superstar. This guy throws 103 miles an hour. But he was leaving the ball up in the zone, and the big league hitters will hit it.
That's true.
So you get him out as soon as you can. You pat him on the back. You tell him, you know, to hang in there. That's what happens, and go back. But, yeah, you couldn't leave him in any longer.
Okay.
Because that would have been could have been damaging if he gave up like 14 runs. You can't do that. That's mismanagement right
ERA
there.
ERA is like 900.
Yeah, no, Terry Francona is a little too smart for that.
Trey Turner, over under 2.5 hits plus runs plus RBIs. We both went under, and he only had a hit and an RBI, so 2.
Right, he was under.
Taylor Fritz, minus 3.5 against Giovanni Impeachy Pericart. And we both chose Taylor Fritz. Taylor Fritz, he won 31-28. So
in Pericart, total games.
In total games, Pericart wins the bet.
Pericart won the bet. Fritz won a marathon 5-set match, though. Good for him.
And then Sinner, and then Luca Nardi, is that what it was?
Luca Nardi, and you even bet on Luca Nardi.
I did, and Sinner won minus 9.5. He won big, 18-7 games, so 11.
Yeah, Sinner was the winner there.
And last is...
Sinner was the winner. Yeah, the other match didn't get underway, so okay. Don't worry about that. Right. I'm 6-1, you're 3-4. 6-1 is not... I wish I could have done stuff like that once in a while when I
actually
was actually putting money out there.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I probably never went 6-1. Like, never.
Well,
once.
That's because you're overthinking it, because you're actually putting money down.
Yeah, now I just, maybe it's more relaxed. All right, tonight, Padres and Phillies, 8.5 runs is the total. Excuse me, I'll let you go first. You got Pivetta and Sanchez. What do you think, Scrape?
I mean, it's going to be a rain game, maybe.
Yeah, right. It may not be played, but if it is played.
I will go with under.
I mean, it almost seems like you have to bet under the way the Padres are scoring right now.
If anybody's going to get to the 8, it's going to be the Phillies.
And Pivetta has been good, but not as good on the road. I mean, he's pretty much normal on the road as opposed to dominating at home. I just have a funny feeling. Over.
Okay.
Pivetta minus 1 strikeout or Sanchez? I'll take Sanchez. Again, Pivetta on the road not as good, and the Padres not hitting much. I'll take Sanchez here.
Yeah, I'll take Sanchez as well.
Wow. All right. How much do you believe in Fernando Tatis Jr.? 1.5 total bases over under. That means he either needs 2 singles or a double, triple, or home run. He did have 1 single last night, but otherwise... I gotta say, I'm no hitting coach, but I mean, just weak swings, just easy ground ball outs, like not any really authority behind it. For lack of a better term, Fernando looks almost lost up there, and he's got to figure it out because he's gonna bat third or fourth and be a guy. So, anyway, what do you think here? Can he do it tonight?
You know, just. To put some good vibes out there, I'll say over.
I'm going to say over, too, because he owns lefties. It's just a matter of getting back to that mindset where he just crushes lefties. Like Fernando, a couple of years ago, was getting like 1,200 OPS against left-handed pitching. You have no comment?
No, I'm just reading the chat because it's like the when it rains, it pours. Someone from Texas said, Tatis' stance change is worrying. ... Head case.
Fernando, a head case.
Padres need a sports psychologist ASAP or get their vision tested. Padres are getting swept. Team lacks energy across the board.
I knew we were going to hear that one. Yeah, they lack energy.
No one has energy when you're losing.
And especially when you're shut out.
Yes. And when you are facing Zach Wheeler.
All right. Dodgers are home to the White Sox.
Uh-oh.
It's only 1.5 runs. That seems like an
easy
one.
That's a standard, but...
Yeah, but I would raise it to 2.5 for this game. What are you doing? Dodgers?
I'm
going to
go... Yeah.
I mean, you can't go White Sox there. Sorry. Astros at Rockies, 11 runs over under. The Astros are quietly playing great baseball. They have snuck up on both the Tigers and Dodgers for best record in all of baseball.
That is sneaking. So
the Astros have been doing really well. 11 runs always seems like an easy one at Coors Field, but this year the Rockies don't score. So I'll say under.
I'll go over.
You'll still go over. WNBA, Minnesota at home, 8 points over the Indianapolis Fever.
Indiana Fever.
Caitlin Clark is supposed to return to action tonight after missing a couple of games. If that means anything to you.
It doesn't.
Fever's 8-8. The Lynx are 14-2.
Oh, I'm going Minnesota.
You're giving the 8 points?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot, Scrape.
Minnesota!
Well, I think with the return of Caitlin Clark, Indy hangs tough. Everybody's new favorite, Sophie Cunningham.
Yes, people do love her now.
The Caitlin Clark protector.
Yes.
Caitlin Clark is 18.5.
Wait, did you go?
I went Indy here.
Okay.
Plus 8. But I will take Caitlin Clark under 18.5 points. She herself has not been shooting that well of late. Say you.
Under.
2 minutes left.
Under.
Under also. All right. This is the women's match. Coco Gauff, 4.5 games over Dana Yastremska. That was supposed to be played last night. They moved it back. It's starting here in a little while. Well, you went with Gauff yesterday.
I'm going to keep it there.
Stay with Gauff.
Yeah.
I went with Yastremska yesterday, but I'm changing. I don't know why. What's changed? But
yeah,
I,
really.
And finally, this match just started, so it's so early. I'll allow it. Novak Djokovic minus 8.5 against Alexander Mueller. Djokovic, of course, the all-time Wimbledon hero, has won it, you know, more than just about anyone. But the last 2 years, he did not win it. So I'll take Mueller. I think 8.5 is just so many games.
I will. Okay, it's not enough. I was going to try to cheat looking up at the screen.
What is the score? 2-1? 3-1. Djokovic's 3-1. First set.
I just got to go with Djokovic because he's
because he's
guy.
Djokovic, yeah. Okay, you got him.
All right.
All right, we'll take a break. More Gwen and Chris is on the way. I got notes on a scorecard. Another segment that, being kind of new to this time slot, you may not have heard out there yet.
Right.
But stick around. You'll find out what it's all about. It has something to do with baseball and my wife's grocery shopping list. When Gwen and Chris continues.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Quinn and Chris, if you're tuning in like you didn't tune in yesterday and you're like, whoa, wait, it's only 11:35 in the morning, or you're like, thinking that maybe you overslept by 3 hours or something, or whatever. No, you got up too early.
Yeah.
Duh. Trying to figure this out.
Yes, they got up too early.
I can go back to sleep. You can't. We are actually on early this week, or at least for the next
today.
Few hours. Yeah. Yesterday and today, we were doing the midday show. Tomorrow, we'll be back in our normal slot. After Padre baseball at about 2 o'clock, but for now you get Crisello here, Tony Gwynn Jr. there in Philadelphia, although not there at the moment, and Matt Scraby here, but not always there either.
What do you mean?
I don't know.
Are you saying that my brain is
sometimes
elsewhere,
as you like to say? What is that one? You, I don't know what I do with my.
Oh,
what is that one?
I know what you're saying.
Yeah,
I just
it's a good
find
one.
Because I haven't really...
I haven't heard it in a while.
Give me a second. Well, here's one of them. Where's my brain?
Okay. That's kind of what I'm referring to, but that's not the one.
This is... I can't find it. Oh.
I don't know what's going on with my mouth right now.
There it is.
Yeah. That was too long.
I don't know what's going on with my mouth right now.
Just all right. Flaps.
We've had a lot of fun on the show already today. So much so that I'm a little worried about how we're going to fill the next 3 hours.
Why?
because we've used a lot, we've fired a lot of our bullets in the early
going.
Oh, we're good. Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We got Chris versus the fans at noon. We got the Big Five at 12:40.
Mm-hmm. And then there's two more hours of the show after that.
And then we just sit there and describe paint drying.
Well, let's hope we can do better than that. Right now, we take you to a segment that's relatively new on the program. Came about earlier this season when I was watching a Padre game at home prior to the show, afternoon game, when we had the show after. And I was jotting down some notes watching the game, and I realized I was actually jotting the notes down on my wife's grocery shopping list.
Yes.
And so now I've kind of stuck with it.
It has.
And it's called Notes on a Scorecard. So here we go.
What did Chris like? What does Chris want to clean up? Observations written on a grocery list. Notes on a Scorecard starts now.
Right, Notes on a Scorecard.
I was hitting the wrong button.
No worries. What do you got?
Yeah. No, I was trying to turn it down, but I was turning down the wrong thing.
Notes on a Scorecard on my wife's grocery list. Here we go from last night's game. And these things can be anything.
Yes.
Just something that, you know, I'm watching the game. And
something that catches your eye.
Catches my eye. Some of the things we've already kind of discussed a little bit on the show, and some of the things we have not at all. All right, first thought when the game came on. Enough with the brown uniforms. They tried it for a couple of games in Cincinnati. They won one. They lost one. They immediately went back to the pinstripes.
They did.
Had they won on Sunday in Cincinnati, I guarantee you they would have worn brown again last night.
Can I just tell them that it doesn't matter what they're wearing?
But it does.
It doesn't, though, because they're losing no matter what they wear.
At the moment, I know what you say, but I think that if you win two in a row in the brown, you would have stuck with it.
I can see that.
But I also know what you're saying right now. They're not winning in anything, so nothing's working. And maybe they should take the City Connects on the road with them or something.
Maybe.
Try those.
Just do some sort of alternate.
I know, the uniform thing. You're absolutely right. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't.
But there's something about
feeling. I understand the psychology of it.
Tiger Woods wore red every Sunday. It didn't matter, but don't tell him that. He had to wear that.
He did.
All right, so the game get underway last night, and I immediately think to myself, how are they going to win this game? They put Zach Wheeler's stats up on the screen. Against the Padres in his career, 5-1 with a 1.94 and a 0.86 whip. 0.86. That's Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And he didn't do anything to hurt those numbers last night, as it turned out.
No. He did give up a bunch of, not a bunch of hits, but he gave up hits.
Six.
He just didn't do anything with
but
them.
But no walks.
Yeah.
I've said this so many times. You can give up 6, 7, 8 hits even if you don't walk anyone.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to score a run. You keep the ball in the ballpark and don't walk anybody. It then takes a lot of hits for somebody to score.
Yep.
Padres 15-28 against winning teams are now 15-29. As we said yesterday in the Big Five, that's not a big deal, but it's at least a little deal.
It's a deal.
They've got to start beating some of these better teams, A, if they want to get to the playoffs,
mm-hmm.
but B, they certainly are going to have to beat these teams if they do get to the playoffs, because that's who they're going to be playing.
You know, I had
so it's definitely a deal.
I had someone ask me, you guys keep saying that Mike Schilt has a great second half record and Mike Schilt this, Mike Schilt that. Mm-hmm. Why don't they want to win games now? And I'm like, yes, they want to win games now. And I think, honestly, we're saying it because we're hoping for it to happen.
He's always finished season strong. We've said it, though. It doesn't mean that he will this year, but it's something that you like to believe is going to happen again. And I don't think it's a matter of, you know, saying we don't want to win now, we'll win later.
They're still trying to win.
I think what it points out is that Mike Schilt, for whatever reason, so far in his career, has done a really good job of figuring out what his team has, and then the last 2 months being able to use it to his best advantage.
Yeah.
That's all I think that points out. Doesn't mean he's not trying to win now. That's kind of silly.
Yeah, he likes to, you know, instead of the expert mode, he likes to go ultra expert mode if it was a video game.
I hope it happens. I mean, the Padres need to finish fast like they did last year.
I mean, never mind.
All right, Jackson Merrill's first at bat. We brought this up earlier with Tony. He saw four pitches. They were all balls. He swung, though, at all four. Tony said, no, he's not pressing.
I kind of agree with that.
You don't think he is?
I don't think that he is. I think that he just looked extremely frustrated because he was overmatched by a better player.
He struck out three times last night. Honestly, did not look good in any of those at bats.
The last one that he had, I know Tony did like a breakdown on the broadcast, and they were like, he went in, then he went back out, then he went back in, and then he went back out, and Jackson swung at it. It's like Zach Wheeler was just toying with everyone last night.
Well, the other thing that they showed, which I thought was really interesting, was that of his 10 strikeouts, like six of them came on pitches that were off the plate. They were close,
yeah,
but they were off the plate. I don't think that's on the Padres as much as it is, again, his just outstanding job of putting the ball right there where you have to swing because it's close, but you can't get to it. He was really good.
He was. Zach Wheeler has been good all year long. He's been good for years on end now.
Yeah. Waldron, keeping an eye on him in the first inning. He had two strikeouts in the first inning.
He did.
But I thought he's not going to be around long. 24 pitches in the first inning. As it turned out, he was over 100 by the fifth inning and out of the game.
I didn't expect anything different.
But we'll talk more about Waldron in a little bit. Xander Bogaerts, first at bat. Clobbers a double off the right center field fence. And I'm thinking, well, he has three doubles and a homer now in his last five at-bats. He was 8 for 8 a couple of weeks, or, you know, about a week and a half ago.
Yeah.
So he's hot.
He's the MVP of the team right now.
That was the good news. He doubled. The bad news is that meant they had to come up with a runner in scoring position. And we kind of know where that was headed again last night. They were 0 for 13 on Sunday, by the way. That was the worst the Padres have been in one game since 2008.
Really?
Yeah. Been a long time since they've been 0 for that many.
Are you serious? I mean, it felt like we did that at least 17 times 2 years ago.
Oh, not 0 for 13, my friend. And now that they went 0 for 7 last night, you can make it 0 for 20. All right, here's a note on a scorecard that is perfect for this segment. Sorry, I'm being a little blunt here. I get it.
Uh-oh.
It's probably not my position to say.
Uh-oh.
If you're watching on the chat, I don't lead the league in amount of hair.
Okay.
But I still think it's my place to say this. Brandon Marsh's hair is disgusting.
Oh, it is.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're fine. I think a lot of people feel this way.
I can't handle it.
It's gross.
Every time he comes up, I can't look at him. And what I think is somebody, somewhere, a wife, a girlfriend, a mother, a relative, a cousin, a friend, somebody says, I like that. You got to stay with it. Because I guarantee you that if I looked that bad on television night after night after night after night after night, year after year after year, you don't think Loriello would comment by now?
I mean,
you've got to do something. You can't look that way.
If you're going to,
what am I missing here?
If you're going to marry that guy, you kind of just have to be okay with his wet hair.
Maybe you just like that.
I'm not sure if he's married or not, but either way, he loves it, and it's gross.
Gross.
Like, who wants wet hair in a wet uniform?
But it doesn't even look wet. It looks greasy. It looks bad.
Well, because he wets it multiple times during the game.
Ugh. And please don't get me started. I'm not out there against long hair. Long hair, you go with it. Beards, all that stuff. It's the greasy aspect of it that I don't. But care
I don't think
for.
It's greasy. Actually,
I don't say it is. It looks greasy.
I'm not doubting or I'm not disagreeing with you on that. Right.
Sorry to anybody. I hope nobody takes that.
No,
personally
I
to heart.
No, every time I see Brandon
honestly,
Marsh.
It's just I can't help but think that when I watch him come up.
I'm like, I see the little pop-ins on MLB Network, and I see Brandon Marsh, and I always look at his wet hair. It's so gross.
This looks terrible.
Marsh is growing a marsh, someone said on the chat.
That's not bad. Pretty good. All right, back to baseball. Maldonado came up, I think it was the third inning, hit a pop-up to the pitcher. And guess what? The pitcher caught the ball.
Yes.
We talk about this often, that mm-hmm. pitchers are not allowed to catch pop-ups.
They're supposed to get out of the way.
Get out of the way. And I'm like, why? You're a good athlete. Catch the ball.
Because we've seen pitchers try to catch a ball, and it doesn't work out.
Well, on this one, actually, Zach Wheeler had to catch it because nobody would have got there. It would have landed foul.
But Maldonado had a tough game last night. I mean, the knuckleball doesn't help things.
No, he did, but that's not on him. That knuckleball is almost impossible to catch when it's moving like that. I'm the number one or two Maldonado critic around here, but I can't be critical of that.
Jesse and Mudd were talking on the radio last night about how the knuckleball, whenever they charge the catcher with a passed ball, it should always be a wild pitch because you cannot track a knuckleball as a catcher.
It is a wild pitch.
That's
just
by
in its
definition.
Essence. Right. All right, we talked about it earlier, but unbelievable play by Jackson Merrill on the robbing Kepler of the home run. Beyond the fact that he levitated because he jumped just a half fraction too early, so he had to stay up there in the air. If he doesn't catch that ball, to me, the game would have been over in the third inning.
Yeah.
That's what the feeling was like.
Yes, it was.
If that was a homer, it would have been 4-0. And the way Wheeler was pitching, you're like,
There's no chance.
Could have gone home.
Yeah.
So, you know, Zach. Now that I'm finally got Zach, Jackson Merrill makes a great play there to keep it alive.
Can we say one good thing about Jackson?
I just did.
I don't know why my voice just went.
You got excited.
His defense is getting better each and every game. I mean, he had a play earlier in the year where he tried to rob someone, didn't make the play. This time, made the play.
He's a natural. This kid's a natural, and whatever he needs and wants to do, he's going to be able to do. Here's the thing that I also noticed that you may not have, Scraby. Jackson Merrill led off next inning for the Padres after that catch. Why do I bring that up? Well, anybody who ever listened to the great Vin Scully will know why I brought this up. Because Vin Scully always pointed out that a guy who made a great play seemed to lead off the next inning. He pointed it out so often that I almost believed it was going to happen.
Okay.
And it just seemed like it happens a lot.
Huh.
Whether that's true or I don't think anybody's actually done a statistic on this. Don't get me wrong. But Vin Scully would always say, here comes Steve Garvey. And, well, he made a great play last inning, and here he is leading off. And
that's
Vin Scully would
Vin
do
Scully.
This every time.
That's a pretty good Vin Scully, Chris.
Yeah, thank you. So a nod to you, Vin Scully. It got to the point when I played my little Sunday games and stuff,
mm-hmm.
when I was leading off, as I went back to the dugout to get my glove and run out to the field, because I'd be standing on deck, right, making out, I'd think, I'm going to make a good play this inning.
And did you?
Sometimes. Not always. Not always. It doesn't always happen. Please don't get me wrong, but it did happen on that one. Sheet struck out in the fourth inning on that down and in curveball.
It's tough.
Jeez, we talked to Tony about it. I'm like, as a viewer, as a fan, you're like, here comes the down and in curveball. But it doesn't matter. It's such a good pitch that you can't hit it, and you think it's a strike. So they swing, and you're angry, but you have no right to be.
You have no right
to be.
Because
none of us would hit that pitch.
And yeah, I really wish I could go and try to hit some of these pitches.
No,
just,
you don't.
No.
So you've got an idea of how difficult
it is?
Oh, yeah.
That's all. I mean, I'm not saying that I would be a great hitter at
all.
I don't think,
and I'm not being mean to you, I don't think you'd get your bat off the shoulder against a lot of these fastballs if they were zipping in there at their...
If I knew a fastball was coming, I could probably make contact with a fastball. If I knew it was coming, though. That's the thing. These guys don't know that it's coming.
I don't think you could make contact with a fastball.
With a 95-mile-an-hour fastball?
No. I think it would at least take you a while. Like, you wouldn't step in and start...
Yeah, how many swings do I get?
That's hard to say, but
15 swings.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you stay up there forever, okay. But
just
I mean,
throw the bat out there at some point.
I don't think it'd be that easy. Although Woodsy did claim that he could 100 mile an hour fastball, so much so that we actually put it up to a challenge.
Yeah, we did.
Where Woodsy was going to go to the cage at 100 miles an hour and see if he could hit the ball, and then COVID happened.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should revisit that, only this time with you.
That's fine with me.
Trying to hit 100 miles an hour.
I would love to. Johnny on the chat says, Scraby can't even make contact at slow pitch softball.
It's really Johnny, funny. That's it's, mean.
It's really funny when people who've never seen me play softball say stuff like that.
Johnny's seen you. He's a softball guy.
And
he's
I
out
made
there.
Contact. I didn't Johnny's, strike out like Chris.
Johnny's a good dude. And he's out
Not
there
anymore.
Week. Yeah, you don't like him now.
Nope.
The key play in the entire game last night, believe it or not, was a ground ball to first base. Happened in the bottom of the fourth inning. Waldron did not get over there in time. Not only was the runner safe, but Waldron then hesitated after he caught the ball, and Stott snuck in behind him and scored from second base on a ground ball.
I think he had a little bit of a brain.
It was a brain cramp?
Yes.
Yeah. It was both a bad play by Waldron and a good play by Stott. And then to add insult to injury, Marsh, with his greasy hair, then stole second base when he should have been out and slid around Jake's tag.
Yeah, yep.
Again, that's a great play, but also not a great play. Jake's got to make the tag.
Yep.
The ball's there. You got to get the guy. Good play by Marsh. And then after that, a wild pitch puts the guy on third. After that, Trey Turner hits a 1 mile an hour chopper up the line that turns into an RBI.
Yeah, that's annoying too.
So they got those two runs. They shouldn't have got any. And it's all because you didn't cover first base. I hate to say it, but when you're struggling like the Padres are, you have to play pretty much mistake-free
you
right
do.
Now, and they did not.
And we've said that all year.
Rise makes a great diving double play to end that inning, though.
Yes.
Bryce Harper scorched that ball.
He did.
And Rise, you know, Rise has been pretty good over there. He's not Keith Hernandez or a Gold Glove, but he's pretty good at first base.
Don't
I think
tell
he's
that to other people.
I'll tell them. I'll show them as many examples as I have. I got a few more things. Just let me give you the highlights. Manny's 1,994th hit was a wall ball single. I tried to be mad that he didn't run hard out of the box, but it really did look like a home run. And had he run out of the box, he still might not have made second.
That's
the guy
true.
Made a perfect play on that one.
But later in the game, he ran out.
So I wasn't critical of that.
Okay.
And when Sheet struck out to end that inning in the sixth inning with two on, I wrote in my scorecard, last chance, game over. And that was the sixth inning. And I did not write anything else the rest of the
last way. Chance, game over.
Pretty much, yeah.
Good scorecard.
All right, more Gwen and Chris. I believe it's Chris versus the fans. You can go to Las Vegas, but got to call in to have a chance.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margo Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.